The Haynes Merchants nabbed the championship at this weekend's Dick Hotch Memorial Basketball Tournament. And the Skagway Assembly sifts through public safety facility costs. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. The Haynes Merchants were the champions in the 35th annual Dick Hotch Memorial Tournament over the weekend. The Merchants faced off against five other teams from Haynes, Cluckwan, Juneau, and Whitehorse and took home the $2,500 prize. KHNS's Emily Files has more from the court.
Twice after the pass, he's gotten layups from just cutting two, because you know that's a discipline.
I think if you cast, you cut after you pass.
It's Thursday night, and the Haynes Merchants are playing the first game against the Juneau team, Good Ol' Boys. The Merchants have a welcome addition to the team this year, Kyle Fossman. The Haynes High School graduate played basketball professionally in Germany. Now he's back in Haynes playing here. He says it's hard to compare the two.
You don't get to just take a shot whenever you want. That kind of stuff makes it a lot harder to, you know, you have to fill in a role unless you're a superstar. Whereas in these tournaments, you know, you got a lot more freedom to, you know, take a crazy shot once in a while if you want to.
Fossman's team won the first game against the Good Ol' Boys. Up next, it's the Chilkat Thunder against Big Bigness, a Whitehorse team. The name of the team has to do with the height of its players. Two of them are close to 7 feet tall. Colin LaForme is 6'10".
Yes, yeah, we're also, it plays on the size of our team. Yeah, we're a large team this year, yeah.
LaForme says the UConn Men's League started about 2 years ago and has grown from 4 to 6 teams with about 80 men registered. He says he hopes to foster a culture of basketball in Whitehorse, similar to that in Southeast Alaska.
There's nothing like going into a full gym in March and people are here watching it. And I mean, we don't have that in Whitehorse right now. It's not the same. So it's a great experience and a great culture.
The best way I can describe it is it's kind of woven into the fabric of the culture even, you know. I mean, no matter who you are or where you're from in Southeast, you know, basketball in some way affects your life. So,
Jason Scholl plays for the Haynes Merchants. He grew up here but lives in Washington now. He says he wouldn't miss this tournament for the world.
It's my home. You know, basketball really means something up here and means something to me. And getting a chance to do this, I'll be 40 this year. And so, I mean, how do you not take advantage of the opportunity?
And Dick Hotch wasn't just for the men this year. Two women's teams competed as well, one from Haynes and one from Juneau. Krista Kilsmeyer helped organize the newly formed Haynes Women's League.
And, you know, it's such a good example for the young people in town, too, because, you know, there's so many times where these kids come and they watch the men play over and over and over again, and it's good for them to see the women out there. And I like it when some of the boys see their mom out there playing, like Patricia Faverty. Her son Kirby will come watch, and he even helped ref a game. And it's good for him to see his mom go out there and make shots and scramble for the ball and just get out there. It's great.
The Haynes women are planning to compete in the Juneau Gold Medal Basketball Tournament later this month. Most of the men's teams are also preparing for that competition. But Scholl says this tournament stands on its own in terms of the sportsmanship it inspires.
Dick Hotch really stood for sportsmanship. That's always been kind of the cornerstone of the tournament. And you know, that's kind of a special thing. I love it.
Scholl's team, the Haynes Merchants, faced off against the Juneau Good Ol' Boys again in the championship game Sunday. They won 98-92. Kyle Fossman received the Most Valuable Player Award, and Joe Hotch received the Best Fan Prize. In Haynes, I'm Emily Files.
At a meeting Thursday, the Skagway Borough Assembly approved maximum construction expenses up to about $13 million for the soon-to-be-constructed public safety facility. The facility would house both the fire and police departments. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
Dawson Construction gave the borough a guaranteed maximum price proposal that totals approximately $12.9 million. But borough manager Scott Hahn pointed out,
there's a lot of other costs that aren't part of this guaranteed price. And the I had police and fire get together and figure out what the furniture would be and the furnishings they need. It probably includes, I think, the phone system. That's not included. It's about $50,000. The construction administration is, if it's $125,000, like I told you I'm trying to shoot for, that's now $175,000.
Hahn listed additional estimated costs he said could add up to $800,000. $12 million of the public safety building will come from a bond that was approved in a 2014 public vote. Hahn said the Borough Finance Committee will meet in the future to talk about how to pay for the expenses that exceed the bond. Construction work is scheduled to start this month. Assemblymember Steve Burnham Jr. said he was frustrated by that.
When we first started talking about this, like 3-4 years ago, one of the things that former Mayor Selmer said adamantly about the library building and the public safety building was that, you know, most of the construction occur in the wintertime, so people who live in Skagway who are laid off in the wintertime would have the option of going and maybe getting a labor job or something, and this one is kicking off right at the beginning of the season, so it's not doing that at all.
The Assembly approved the guaranteed maximum price in a 5-1 vote, with Burnham opposed. At the end of the meeting, he explained his vote.
I really think that should have been held off until those other things could be approved along with it.
The other things Burnham was referring to are contracts related to the public safety facility, construction oversight services, and construction testing and inspection services. Hahn said for oversight, he wants to hire someone who is independent from the construction company. Hahn proposed Gateway Project Manager Chad Gubala, along with a local representative.
For my purposes, I need to get somebody out there who I can trust that produce top quality reports for me and really watches out for the city. So I'm suggesting that Chad be the person to do that with this other person.
The Assembly asked for a proposal on that to take up at the next meeting. For the construction, testing, and inspection services, Bettisworth Architects, which is the firm contracted to do the design work, recommended a proposal from P&D Engineers for about $85,000. Through observation and testing, P&D would basically provide quality assurance. Burnham said the borough should do more comparison between P&D and PDC Engineers' proposal, because PDC appears to include more site visits in its bid for inspection and testing of construction materials. The Assembly agreed that more research was needed. Both of the contracts, along with a construction administration proposal, were postponed to the next meeting. Also at the next meeting, the Assembly will discuss what kind of facilitator they might want to hire if White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad agrees to restart port development negotiations. Here's Mayor Mark Schaefer and Assemblyman Tim Cochran.
I think we were just kind of thinking we need somebody, a fresh face or, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the whole premise that Stephen had behind that was the public perception that there's a bunch of negotiations going on behind closed doors that no one's privy to.
Cochran said, going forward, if the municipality starts working with White Pass and or terminal owner Ada, discussions should be transparent. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
And finally, it's another pretty light agenda for this week's Hainesboro Assembly meeting on Tuesday evening. One public hearing is on the roster regarding a proposed code modification suggested by the Planning Commission. Among the changes, the commission requested that the review process for capital improvement and borough projects be revised. In a letter to the borough, commission chair Rob Goldberg said the stipulations in code when it comes to commission evaluation of borough projects is too vague. The commission proposed that it review plans at 35, 65, and 95% with public hearings for each. But interim manager Brad Ryan replied that those conditions would stretch out the process too long. Ryan's changes include review by the commission, but not at specific times during the course of the design phase. So on Tuesday, the Assembly will decide whether to amend the original motion as proposed by the manager and then send it back to the commission for review. Numbering and or dating pages in the Assembly agenda packet is up for discussion again in unfinished business. It's an issue that some Assembly members feel is necessary, while others feel like it just adds to the burden of the clerk's job. In new business, the mayor is seeking assembly support for the reappointment of Rhonda Hinson to the Tourism Advisory Board. Also in new business, the assembly will vote whether to authorize the manager to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the Chilkat Center to lease lighting, audio, and stage equipment for $1 a year. The lease would mean that the borough is on the hook for insurance and maintenance costs. The meeting starts at 6:30 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.